Let me invite you over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1 tonight. Hebrews 11, chapter 1 reads this way. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight asking for your blessing on your word, Lord, on the service tonight, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might hear from you. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide the service with your Holy Spirit, guide our hearts and minds with your Holy Spirit. Again, Lord, that you might be glorified, and that we might have a better understanding of the salvation that you've given to us. Bless, and we'll thank you again, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Obtaining a Good Report. Obtaining a Good Report. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is it that you need tonight? That can enter all kinds of realms. There's physical needs, there are emotional needs, there are spiritual needs. But what is it that you think you need tonight? God wants to meet your needs that are really important. There are needs that different kinds of people have that have nothing to do with the Spirit. And this is where the difference needs to take place, where we need to understand the world is one thing, and we are in it, but we're not supposed to be of it. The world has conditioned themselves to have certain kinds of needs that are deadly. Would you say that? The world has conditioned themselves to have certain needs tonight that they say, listen, tonight, I need this tonight. Maybe their body has a physical addiction or whatever it might be, but those needs are killing them. But the greatest need that anybody could have, first of all, is to understand their need for God as a Savior, but then also in everyday life. And what is the greatest need that you need tonight that will have a bearing or an effect on your eternal life? That's an important need also. And the need that we have tonight is that God might fulfill his will in us in such a way. Do you know that when God fulfills his will, I don't know if people equate this or understand this, it brings joy to our lives. When God fulfills his will in your life and mine, it brings greater happiness than the world can ever provide for you and I as an individual. Let me give you a case in point. Ready? Salvation is the will of God. When you got saved, was that the most miserable day in your life? Or was that the happiest day, unforgettable day in your life? So when God fulfills his will in your life, as he did in your life and my life as a saved child of God, that brought great joy into our life. And a lot of times I think we think, well, if God fulfills his will in my life, I don't know that I'm going to like all of it. I am sure there's not one person in heaven that has had God fulfill God's will in their life that is saying that today, right, in eternity. So as we consider this thought tonight, obtaining a good report or witness, that's God's will for your life and mine, notice the word obtain there, and I want to, I've defined this before in verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Attaining something and obtaining are two different things, sort of. Let me share it like this with you. If you get a degree at a college, at a university, that's an achievement. That's something you've attained, but you obtain when you walk the floor because of what you did in the past or what took place in the past. When you walk the floor to receive your diploma, now you've obtained your degree for your attainment that you worked for. What we need to understand is that God is wanting to do the work for us as we submit ourselves, and he wants us to obtain this witness or the good report that he wants you and I to have. So tonight, I want to just spend a few moments here and look at how we can obtain or have possession of this report or this witness in our life that God wants us to have. And let me just remind you very quickly, the witness and the report that God wants you to have that's contagious is the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the contentment and fulfillment that we find in the Lord that will attract the world. Listen, do you think the world's going to be attracted to, and I'm not saying that we have to appeal to the physical senses, but when the world considers faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they equate it with religion, and they really cannot make a distinction between one and the other, can they? I mean, don't they say, well, what's the difference between yours and the 150 other religions that are out there? Don't they say that? The world? What's the difference? Let me tell you what the difference is, or what the difference should be. Jesus Christ and the grace of God, because no other religion has that. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings the love of God into the world. First of all, into our life. Remember the cup? Overflowing cup. The cup being filled is for you and I. The overflowing is for the world. And that's what. And God is the one that fills the cup. So how are we to obtain and have possession of this good report? Well, we're going to look at three thoughts tonight. The vehicle of faith, because it is faith that gets us there. The fuel for the vehicle of faith, you have to have something to operate it that makes it run. And then when something runs, something that we all experience, if you have a vehicle, it needs to be maintained or it's not going to run very long, right? So then there's also a maintenance for the vehicle of faith. These things need to be maintained, they need to be strengthened, or they will die. You believe that tonight? Doesn't the book of Revelation chapter 3 strengthen the things that are ready to die? He said, they're ready. I mean, this is, listen, would you buy a car that was ready to die? We wouldn't want to invest in anything like that was ready to die. And by the way, God doesn't want his church to be in that state of affairs. And that is, unfortunately, the Laodicean church. It was ready to die. And that is the towards the end of the age type of church. It doesn't have to be. I don't believe that. But unfortunately, the Lord said that this is the potential where it could go towards. So we need to guard against that. All right. The vehicle of faith. Watch this with me here. Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By the way, it's an evidence, though, of something that we can't see. It's not saying that it's something mystical or invisible. We can't see it, but there is an evidence of it. Case in point, when the Lord said the wind, it blows, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You can see the trees blowing, the leaves falling, all different kinds of things taking place with the wind. And so likewise also in our lives, there's an evidence of these things that are not seen that should be in the life of the believer. And notice what he says of this thing that's not seen that gives evidence, for by it, this thing faith, right? This is the vehicle of faith. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So if the elders obtained a good report, is it possible for you and I to obtain a good report by it? Paul said it. He said, listen, I've run a good race. I fought a good fight. And henceforth, there's a crown laid up for me, but not only for me, but for all those that love the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice this vehicle here, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that answers creation right there? I can rest in that. I have faith to believe in my God. I'm sorry to say, I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. I just cannot believe that nothing made everything. I just can't believe that, can you? I just don't have that kind of faith. I just don't. But I can believe that an almighty God, a creator, spoke everything into existence. And then I can see the evidence of that. Everywhere I look, I can see that everything has a purpose. Don't you? Everything functions the way it's supposed to. Isn't it amazing that God didn't place us on the moon? How long would we live there? I mean, just stop and think about it. There's too many problems. Forget about the food issue, right? I mean, but God, listen, God made all kinds of things for us to enjoy, and everything is made just right. I can see the handiwork of God and salvation. Really, that faith that God gave me helps me to understand that God created the world with the things that we can see. He made with the things that cannot be seen, and that was his spoken word. God said, let there be, and it was. Amen? Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness, this is that possession, witness that he was righteous, and notice God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So the reason why Cain slew Abel was because he was doing the right thing. He had a right relationship with the Lord. Now remember this. Remember what Jesus said? The world hated me, and if it hates me, it's going to hate you. Isn't that what Jesus said? Cain was of that wicked one, the Bible tells us. He was of the world. And that's why he hated his own flesh and blood brother and slew and killed him. So this was this witness that Abel had in himself, and he had the peace of God, I believe, even as his brother confronted him to commit murder. God gave him that. So that's the vehicle of faith. But now let's look at the fuel for the vehicle of faith, because everybody understands this. First of all, if you're saved, you know that there's a God in heaven that cares for you. He gives that inside your heart, does he not? He gives that inside your soul. Let me say that better. Inside your soul, especially the part that's been regenerated, that has the Holy Spirit inside of it. You know that you have that faith. But now God wants us to understand how to have that fuel. It would probably be a lot safer for me to allow my son to save up for a car and never allow him to put fuel in it. Right? Make sure, polish it, clean it, you know, keep it all spick and span, but you're not allowed to put any fuel in it. Because the day you put fuel in it, you're going to discover something. It's going to move. Amen? God wants us to understand the fuel that moves us spiritually. It's not our strength, it's his. So with that thought, notice this. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith. I don't understand that, but he did. And he would commune with the Lord, and one day God said, hey, you know what, listen, why don't you just come home with me? And Enoch said, that sounds like a wonderful idea. And he was translated, never saw death. Notice this. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Notice this. He pleased God. He knew, just like Paul knew, that he pleased God. So here's the question tonight. Does God want you and I, did God save you and I to be pleasing in the sight of God? Yes, right? Is that not the case? He saved us. He gave us his son. If he gave us his son, will he not also freely give us all things? So he gave us his son. He wants us to be pleasing. And he had that testimony and enjoyed that. Verse 6, but without faith, this is the fuel, right? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that occasionally, annually seek him. Is that what the Bible says? And that's why a lot of people aren't happy in Jesus, like they should be and could be, because they don't believe this truth. So here's the truth, ready? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here's how God works. We go to him in prayer. He answers prayer. We get up off our face and we say, praise God. I have a faithful God. And you know what? Listen, we will even praise him in everything. Even when the answer is no, we will understand that God gave us his best and that he answered our prayers. And so we leave the answer with him, and by faith we approach him for all the things we have need of. Question, what is your greatest need tonight? Oh, that I might have a good report for the Lord, that I might be a good witness. We call this the hall of faith, right? The chapter of faith here. These are all the different examples of faith, and God put this in here for us to casually read it. Right? No, he wants us to have understanding of how it's going to work in your life and mine. So this is the fuel for the vehicle of faith. Notice again what it says here. Look at verse 6 again, just because it's important. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently. I would say that's more than annually, wouldn't you? Diligently, I would say that's more than even weekly, wouldn't you? I would say if we're diligently seeking God, that means that we have things in our life that we need from God to answer. So God, I need you to empower my life by your power, not mine. Lord, I need to understand this all-important truth. You'll be amazed. It's in the Gospel of John, and it's also in the epistles of John, especially in 1 John, abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. What does that mean? Can you fully explain that to me, what it means to abide in Christ? God wants us to abide in Him. Do you think? I understand a degree of it, but I want you to know God wants us to understand and comprehend completely. And so we must come to Him and say, God, help me to understand what you mean by abiding, because that's the life-changing. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you need and you'll get it. Do you think abiding in Christ is important? Absolutely. See, what you find here is these people, all the people of faith, knew what it meant to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that is an important need in our life in this day and age in which we live. Verse 7, again, concerning the fuel for the vehicle of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and that's a reverential fear, an honoring fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Now, you have to remember this, and you will as soon as I say this. They had never seen rain before. They'd never seen. So here's Noah building an ark on dry ground. Did that make any rational sense to the natural intellect? No, that would be like you building a boat right out here, not planning to move it, saying we're going to sail in it. And we're going to sail right from here. This is the launching dock. How crazy would that be? And that's exactly what Noah did. And so Noah is preparing this ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Listen, Noah did something that the world did not comprehend, but he had more respect and more reverence and more stock in the Word of God than what the world thought. Can that be said of believers today? That we have more respect for what God has said than what the world is saying. You know what the world would tell you? Don't you guys think you're just a little bit fanatical? I mean, my goodness. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. Don't you think that's a little bit fanatical? And is the hypocrisy of the world not crazy? I mean, my goodness, when you see people out there at a football game in freezing weather, taking their shirts off and painting the colors of the college team. Isn't that a little bit crazy? Just a little bit. I mean, if we look at what the world is giving its life for, that they're never going to really get. They're not really. And here's what they're looking for. They're looking for fulfillment, contentment, and peace. And they'll never find that in the world without God. They will never find it. They will get there and they will go, oh, there. Who was that? Who was that wealthy man? Do you remember the one of the wealthiest men of his day? Can't remember who he was. Howard Hughes, was it? And they asked him, because he was the wealthiest man, I think, at that time. They asked him, how much money would it take to make somebody happy? He gave them an answer. You remember what it was? Just a little bit more than what I have. Just a little bit more than what I have. And may I tell you this? That will always be his answer, no matter what he has, because the truth is that what came out of his lips, nothing will make us happy in this world without Christ. Nothing. And so, God is wanting us to know that Noah found happiness in the Lord. Not only that, he found salvation for himself and his family as the whole world perished in rejection to God. And by the way, spiritually speaking, the whole world is dead already without Christ. Are they not? Already dead. All right, last thought here, and this is important. the maintenance for the vehicle of faith, right? We have to have the vehicle of faith, we have to have fuel, and then we have to maintain it. And I think you'll really enjoy this. I think this is an important thought here at the end. Ready? Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. Isn't that amazing? He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Going, not knowing, as somebody once said. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise, because they were in his loins. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We're talking about Isaac now. God made sure that there was nothing in Abraham and nothing in Sarah that could produce a child. Did he not? He waited. It's important. That's important. God's waiting for you and I also to have nothing in ourselves. He's not looking to strengthen us. He's looking to come, for us to come to the end of ourselves so that he can be everything for us. Now, I want you to see something. This is the important thought, and we're done, but this is very important, and I'm going to invite you back over to the book of Genesis chapter 17, so you can head that way, but this is important. Sarah, I'm going to read as you're turning back there, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Did she have any problems? Did Abraham and Sarah have any problems with the promises of God? Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any problems with the promises of God? Do you struggle with any of the promises of God? And if you said yes, you're in good company. And I'm speaking for myself. I'm there with you. There are struggles that I have. But wait a minute. We're in better company because so did Abraham and Sarah. So watch this. Ready? We forget about this. Abraham first and then Sarah. All right? Abraham comes first. Genesis 17, look at verse 17. Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell upon his face, speaking about when God was saying, listen, I'm going to bless Sarah. She's going to have a son. And Abraham, when he heard this, he fell upon his face and what? He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Was God happy with that? Verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, with his seed after him. That's God's promise. Where was Abraham's faith? Not very strong, was it? All right, now we go on to chapter 18, and the Lord appears in the plains of Mamre there, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and remember, he's running, hey, sweetheart, the boss is coming for dinner to get things ready, and he's cooking up a meal for him. And then I want you to see something here that happens in verse 9. These are the angels, and of course, the Lord was there with them, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now, I want to ask you this question as we look through this, because this is sometimes overlooked. Did God not know where Sarah was? This is an important question. He wanted Sarah to know that he knew, because he knew what was getting ready to happen, and she would not be able to explain it away. She's caught red-handed, and you know, if you know anything about tent walls, they're not soundproof, okay? All right? So, where's Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent, verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Pretty close, I'd say, wouldn't you? All right, now this is important. Okay, here's another question very quickly. Forgive me. Do you think Abraham didn't tell Sarah what God told him about her having a child after that? And you should have seen me. I was trying to give God an easy out here. How about Ishmael? You know, I mean, it's impossible. Isn't that what he was saying? Shall I and shall Sarah bring forth a son? It's impossible with us. Man, if we could just learn that lesson. And so he told her that, no doubt. And okay, where's Sarah? I need to know where she's at. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, heard the promise. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, just in case you wondered. Therefore, Sarah laughed in herself. That was a quiet laugh. Saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also? So she's saying this to herself. But God hears everything. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And she where did she laugh? Within herself. So here's what she's saying, but I really didn't, yeah, I did kind of laugh, didn't I? she really didn't laugh out loud, but she did laugh at what the Lord was saying. And the Lord said unto Abraham, verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Isn't that a good question? From the lips of God? We look at ourselves and we say, oh, can't do it. But how about the Lord? Is there anything too hard for him? We got our eyes in the wrong place. And by the way, Sarah and Abraham. So we're in good company. I'm not excusing that, and neither is Hebrews. But God is just showing us how to maintain this vehicle of faith that God has given us. So is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse 14. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, you got to watch this. So the Lord's saying this. And Sarah's like, Lord, excuse me, Lord. Look, notice right here, verse 15. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. And it even tells us, isn't it amazing? For she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And that was the end of the conversation. And Sarah really didn't want to say another thing about it. And Abraham didn't want to get in that either. But isn't God good? Amen? How will you and I obtain a good report, a witness? Listen, by the grace of God, or it won't happen. We've been given the vehicle of faith at salvation. God has given to us the fuel for the vehicle and the way to maintain it. And how do we do that? Keep looking to the Lord and asking him to guide us each and every day. I need thee, Lord, that I might walk by faith. We can obtain a good report or witness, not by ourselves, but from the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the understanding and the wisdom that it brings. And Lord, I pray that you would build us up as your people here at Northwood Baptist Church. We ask the blessing for all your churches that they might have a good testimony, a good witness. But Lord, we pray for Northwood that we might be found faithful, and that you would do a work in and through us for your honor and glory. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.